Welcome back!
Yes, welcome to the peaceful grotto in the middle of a log, in the middle of a forest.
In your secret hideaway, vital information for everyday life. Coming at you, this is your Aunt Jessie.
This is your Uncle Jessie.
And this is Moonbeam.
Ooh, welcome back, listeners. Today we are going to be talking about a relic from my childhood. Usually, this is Aunt Jessie. Usually, I'm the noob to whatever we're watching and responding. But today we're watching something that was definitely a contributor to my growing up, and that is Fred Penner's Place.
Fred Penner's Place, yes, the quintessential Canadian childhood show that we were able to watch here in Southeast Michigan because of being able to get CBC over the air.
We're so close to Windsor and the Canadians. So, yeah, Fred Penner's Place was on for 12 years. There were over 900 episodes.
900 That's episodes.
Incredible. That is an incredible amount of episodes.
It was on from 1987 to 1999. Fred Penner is still alive and kicking, as we found out on YouTube today.
Yeah, man, you can look him up. He's still out there rocking and rolling and
giving
kids
ukulele lessons to children.
Yeah, yeah. Telling people about cats coming back and all that stuff.
But today we are talking about the episode from 1994. We were unable to find an actual air date from this, but it did come out in 1994.
Yep. And here is the good news, listener. If you, as we're talking about this, if you want to follow along or you want to be more in on the jokes, we are going to link this episode to this post on our website, and you can watch this ahead of time, follow along with the discussion. We're hoping that'll help. So,
and we've actually done that for Jessie, Aunt Jessie, actually, the person who does all of our website stuff, has been linking episodes for a while, but we're going to start releing the episodes we're going to record a few days before the episode comes out, so everyone has a chance to rewatch.
Yeah.
And then listen to us talk about it.
Yes, it's more immersive, you know, in case you weren't getting quite enough. So, what did you guys think of Fred Penner's Place? I'm curious.
Yeah, so it was my first time ever seeing this show. I grew up on the East Coast, so we did not get this show. I had never heard of it before just a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or two ago when you told me about it. And then a friend of mine, I told my friend Bob that we were going to do this show, and he was like, oh, I used to watch that all the time. It was amazing. And he, like, described the intro, and I was all excited because it seems, like, totally right up my alley. So it was a little different than what I expected, but I still really liked it. Whole lot of singing, which, you know, I can get behind.
There was a lot of singing.
I don't recall this particular episode. I think I was probably watching earlier on Fred Penner than this 1994 episode. There was like a puppet I didn't recognize, but I mean, it was still the same old Fred Penner, that's for sure. Oh, and by the way, this is technically, it does count for a show because Fred Penner was aired on Nickelodeon.
Which means if you were a kid in Michigan, you could watch Fred Penner twice in one day. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, we could watch Fred Penner three times in one day because we got two CBC channels.
Yep.
As well as the Nickelodeon rebroadcast. So you could watch them all.
Yep. Lots of Fred Penner exposure.
Yeah, I did grow up watching this show. A lot of fond memories. But and we know it holds a special place in your heart.
It's true.
So let's talk about our episode today. Today's episode is called Confidence.
Yes.
And what do you guys think we're going to learn about today?
Confidence.
Probably confidence, if I had to guess.
I mean, in theory, we're going to learn about confidence.
For like two minutes of the whole episode.
Right at the end. We're just touch on it real quick.
We're going to sing about some goblins. We're going to talk about some other things.
We'll get there eventually. That's not, you know, not the most important. We're gonna
He's not so the greatest singing. At carrying the theme throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, that was my biggest comment throughout the time that we were watching the show, is that I felt like the songs that he chose, like every other children's show where I've ever watched where there's a whole lot of singing, all the songs have something to do with the storyline of like where they're going with that episode. And I didn't really get a whole lot of that here. Mm-hmm. It more just felt like, you know, he wanted an excuse to sing the songs that he wanted to sing and then all like try to tie it in at the end.
My personal theory is that they would just stick a song in anytime they needed to move the puppet. Without, you know, you seeing that it's a puppet. So if the puppet has to move from a mossy stump to a Fred Penner's workshop, then, well, we're going to sing a song and walk around for a little while,
guys.
Was it
his cue to the prop guy? He's like, okay, I'm singing, so get ready.
It should have also been his cue to the camera guy.
Right? Okay, that was the other biggest thing with this episode that we watched. This show has maybe the worst camera guy.
He's got to be fired.
He just couldn't keep Fred in the middle of the shot. And so, like, either Fred would have to be, like, singing over his shoulder or, like, look up.
Or you'd be like, shooting through a bush or a tree.
Yeah, like there'd be something just completely blocking the way. You couldn't even see Fred in the shot. Like, oh my god, such bad camera work.
One more thing to note before we get into the actual episode description today is that Fred Penner's got his shit on lockdown, or like his soul is owned by CBC, because finding clips and finding entire episodes is even harder.
Access is not easy.
Yeah, on YouTube. So the episode that we will be linking you to, no guarantee that it'll be up to forever. So if you're listening to this anytime other than June of 2018, you might not be able to watch this episode. But the copy we were able to find was a person who had set up a camera in front of a television that was playing the episode of Fred Penner's Place. And at one point, whoever was recording this episode had a pet bird, and you can see his shadow walking by in front of Fred Penner.
So very poor quality, but yeah. I apologize. It's, you know, join in on the fun, though.
The bird just enhanced, like, the nature feel of the show.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
I really felt like I was sitting at home in my dark room with my pet bird watching old reruns of Fred Penner, as I generally am doing.
So my question is, was this intro the same intro for every episode, or did he have different intro? Like, was this the same intro that you remember from your childhood?
Yes, okay, definitely.
So him walking along the rocky beach in his day-glow sweater that either was pink and purple or red and blue. We're not entirely sure.
It's like that dress that people perceive in different colors.
Well, and so the poor quality prevents us from telling you what color his sweater is at the beginning of the episode, but we can tell you that he walks around a beautiful beach. He sees a frog. He sees a bird. He sees some beavers.
Mm-hmm.
He communes with nature, and he gets so in touch with his natural side that he just climbs into a log.
Yes, he climbs into a log on the ground. It's a large log, obviously, with a hole in the middle.
A man-sized log.
Yes, and when he crawls through it, he's suddenly in his secret hideout in the middle of the woods, which, oh man, that was like the dream for me as a kid. I don't know, I loved that idea. I was all about it. And inside his secret hideout, you know, that's where his shrooms kick in and he starts seeing his puppet friends.
He also changes clothes when he goes to the log.
Yes.
He changes from the day-glow sweater into... Maybe you want to tell us what he was wearing?
So it was a purple button-down shirt, like a collared shirt, and a vest that was green and like navy blue with like triangles and lines.
Beautiful pink triangles.
Very 90s.
Yes.
Loved this outfit. I want to wear it. Yeah, it looked pretty great. My other comment about Fred Penner is that he looks an awful lot like the dad on Family Ties.
Yes, it's true.
Really looks like him. I can't remember that actor's name off the top of my head. But anyway, he looks almost exactly like him, so that was pretty weird.
Do we think this log is magic, like a magic log that changes his clothes? Or do you think that this full-grown man climbs into a log, disrobes, and then redresses himself before climbing out into his secret hideout?
The world may never know.
I would really like to know.
It's probably a magical log.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll go with that. That's my guess. It's a magic log. It's much less disturbing that way.
Look, everyone loves log, as we recently found out.
It's true. So. We already reviewed this.
So Fred Penner climbs out of his magic clothes log. It's like a closet. It's like a walk-in log closet. Mm-hmm. He climbs out, and he starts talking to us about his project for the day.
Wait, but first he says, good to see you again.
Well, that's nice.
I felt welcome.
Yeah.
And then he has to find, you know, he keeps his guitar hidden. Well, there's guitars everywhere.
There's just literally kind of guitars planted all over the set. Like, in case Fred just decides to start singing while he's wandering
Which
around
the
set.
Which he does, like, 20 times.
He's like, oh, yeah, let me grab this one over here.
I lost count of how many songs there were.
There's so many songs.
Definitely double digits.
There weren't even transitions in between the songs. Like, it just went from one song directly into a completely unrelated song.
But before his first song, he tells us that he's here today to build a chair for his friend Nikki as a gift.
Yes.
Who is Nikki? What is Nikki? Is Nikki man, woman, puppet, bird? We have no idea what Nikki is, but Nikki apparently can sit, and Nikki's getting a chair today, god damn it.
Nikki is small, we know that at least.
Yes.
Well, we don't find that out until they start building the chair.
That's true.
Yes.
So, but the supplies that he has in his backpack that's like canvas and wood?
Mm-hmm. It's like a potato sack lashed to a washboard.
Yes. Yeah. And it goes on his back, and he makes a point to have it with him, even pushes it through the log before he climbs through.
Yeah. Very so important. The tools that he's going to use to build this chair are twigs, twine, nice alliteration, glue, and his imagination.
Yes.
Sounds like a very sturdy chair for Nikki.
But as we all know from shop class, before you can build your twig chair, you've got to sing a song. So that brings us to technically our second song, because I'm going to count that intro song.
Yes.
Right.
Our second song is about perseverance.
It's amazing what you can do.
It's amazing what you can do.
If
yeah.
you put your mind to it.
If you put your mind to
got
it.
Got kind of a jazzy thing going on. Mm-hmm. This is the time when he's like trying to transition from one part of the set to the other, and the camera guy could not follow him, mm-hmm. and so he sings most of the song over his shoulder
yeah.
while he's trying to walk from one side of the studio to the other.
It's amazing what you can do. I'm talking to you, Gary.
he is walking and playing at the same time, and I will say I don't know that he was actually contributing to the sounds we were hearing, but at least he was moving his hands on the fretboards, which is always something that drives me crazy. I recently watched an Elvis movie where all of the people are playing instruments and no one was moving their hands, and it drove me crazy. So at least in this particular case, he was holding a guitar and also moving his hands, and I appreciate that.
There's also a piano player somewhere on the set. We are never introduced to this piano.
It's a tiny mouse in the bushes.
Maybe. It's like one of those old, like, elementary school music class mm-hmm. upright pianos.
Oh, yeah.
That's all beat up, but still, you know, can ramble on. And
no electric piano sound. Definitely a real piano.
Absolutely. This was not filmed in front of a live studio audience, too, so it means that this set just had a piano player on it playing for the show.
It was filmed at a piano bar.
I like it.
So it's
amazing what you can do, and what Fred Penner wants to do is walk across some moss and go visit a puppet.
Yes. So he runs into this all blue girl puppet named Penelope. She has blue, all blue.
Like skin blue, hair blue, and clothes blue.
Yeah.
Like blue.
Like she's wearing an all denim outfit or something maybe, and then she's also blue. And she has some pretty sweet warrior paint on her cheek.
Well, you know what they call it when you wear an all denim? It's called a Canadian tuxedo, so maybe they were going for that look.
She was being fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she dressed
she's
up
going
for
to puppet
occasion.
Prom.
Right? Oh, so what is her warrior paint, though? It's not actually warrior paint.
You guys, Penelope is so sad.
She is.
She's so depressed because she went to puppet preschool today, and she was playing with her finger paint. And what happened?
She made a mess.
She made a huge mess. She got paint all over, and all her little puppet children friends. I'm assuming she goes to puppet school.
I mean,
right?
They have, I think there's still a segregation problem, yeah.
It was the 90s. Yeah. So the other puppet children have called her a klutz.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
But isn't the point of finger painting to make a mess? Like, I mean,
you're doing it wrong.
Is it possible to not make a mess while you're finger painting?
In human preschool, maybe, but in puppet preschool, these things are different. Well,
not, anyway. I want to see a non-messy finger painting and see what it's like dots.
In Germany, we only finger paint with one. You put one dot on the paper. Okay, anyway, Fredra has to make poor Penelope feel better by sharing with her that one time he tripped over a whole bunch of honey and spilled it everywhere.
Yeah.
Which sounds way worse than a finger painting mess, because if you've ever cleaned up honey spilled off of anything, that is terrible.
I can't say that I've ever spilled an entire bucket of honey, unlike Fred Penner.
A whole bucket.
And of course he uses this as an opportunity to lead into another song. Well, isn't he talking and he starts strumming?
Yes.
No, his own exciting background music.
He starts story singing.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell me about...
Yeah.
Well, one day, I was walking through the goblin woods of Goblin Town, and I came across the goblin tree, and there was a goblin hole in the goblin ground, and I fell into the goblin hole in the goblin ground.
And I saw a goblin, and it had goblin hair, and goblin eyes, and a goblin mouth,
and a goblin pancreas,
and a goblin neck, and a goblin shoulders, and some goblin boobs, and some goblin body.
Yeah.
G-O-B-L-I-N.
Goblin.
Goblin.
So he sings Penelope.
You got two songs for the price of one in this episode.
He sings Penelope the Puppet, a song about ugly goblins who nobody likes.
No segue to this conversation.
Complete with descriptions of their physical appearance and the things that make them ugly, which is just being a goblin. It's a little racist.
Yeah.
And this song supposed to teach us how to spell goblin. I don't know why this song is in here.
Yeah, no. Yeah, other than the spelling lesson, I don't think it really helps much.
Penny seems to like it, though.
Penny, it does make her smile. So, you know what? Success.
Yeah. She's like, well, now I've heard your goblin song, so I would really love to help you build a chair. Anything but your song about goblins, please.
All right, well, let me I left my backpack way over there, so I'm going to have to...
sing a song.
I'm going to have to go get that. Ba-dum-bum-bum. Walking across the soundstage while we move a puppet.
So Fred Penner has forgotten his backpack. Oh, no. He walks and sings the exact same song again and arrives in his workshop.
Not the goblin song.
The other one.
No, the original walking song.
It's amazing what you can do song.
It's amazing what you can do.
The goblin song is a sitting song.
Yes.
Obviously.
And I have here in my notes, where's the jazzy piano?
He had to pee. He was taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and gets his backpack, and they're in the workshop. And so he's kind of like instructing Penny on what to do and how to build this chair. And you guys, she just completely fucks up.
She's a fucking klutz. Those other kids were right.
Glue is hard.
She's not even really trying. She's like, but what if I just... And then the whole thing just falls apart. Yeah.
So Penelope's approach to building a chair is to moan suggestively.
Oh
and
my
then,
gosh.
And then shoot so spurts disturbing. Of white glue across the workbench. She's like, oh. And then glue just shoots everywhere. That's what happens on this show today.
There was a lot of sick. Yeah, we're just
we are
our minds
adults.
Go in the gutter a little bit.
And I mean, this could be a puppet adult. We don't really know the age of
That's
puppet
true.
Consent.
We didn't
she went
her.
To puppet preschool though.
Yeah, well,
she'd be a late bloomer.
Maybe puppets have a shorter lifespan.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, this puppet really, really likes playing with glue, but she really, really sucks at it, and that makes her sad again.
Yeah. So he's like bummed out about that. He wants to try to cheer her back up.
Oh, he says, it's all right, you know, like, just try again. Like, I'm sure, you know, nobody gets it right the first time. Go ahead and try again. And then what happens? She messes up a
second
time.
You guys, Nikki is never gonna get his or her chair.
We think we heard it both pronouns used, so we're not entirely sure about Nikki. And we never meet Nikki, spoiler alert. So I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I still have a lot of questions about the whereabouts of Nikki.
Maybe a few.
But you guys, There is no time because you know who's here.
Who?
Word bird.
Bird is wait, but what about word. Penelope sang that whole song about how sad she feels that she's such a fuck up?
I don't care.
Remember? She sings a whole song about how blue she is.
I didn't write anything down about that, so it must not have been a very memorable song.
I feel bad. She sung about feeling bad.
She did sing about it.
Because she said that I can't do anything right, and then she felt
bad. And during that song, they did this big pan out of, like, the whole workshop. So you got to see, like, everything that was in the workshop. And there's just, like, several guitars just sitting around, and then, like, maybe, like, a yard ornament Winnie the Pooh and a bunch of tools and then, like, a bunch of other random cool-looking stuff. It was pretty neat.
Well, I'm gonna have to take your word on this mystery song. I don't even remember
it
at
then,
all.
But now,
that makes us... That puts our song count so far, you guys, at number... At five songs.
We're
at five
songs. Oh, wow. I'm glad you're keeping track.
Yeah.
And then... Bird, bird, bird. The bird is the word. Bird. It is the word bird. The word bird arrives and drops a giant card with a word on it into Fred's hands. And Fred brings it in and shares it with Penelope. And today's word is...
Confidence.
Confidence.
That's right. We have what appears to be a dot matrix printed... word confidence cut out with pinking shears and then glue sticked onto another, like a piece of Dayglow poster board also cut out with pinking shears.
Mm-hmm.
It's here to tell us all about confidence. And what a coincidence, because confidence just so happens to be the thing that Penny needs.
That's I'm calling crazy. Her Penny now. Weird coincidence.
We're close. She gets a nickname.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Is it kind of weird that this grown man is just playing with an unsupervised child puppet that he found in the woods?
There are all kinds of questions
in their
like that.
Secret hideout.
Right?
You guys can't see me doing the air quotes, but hopefully you could tell from my voice that I was.
Is he forcing this puppet to live here? How did she get. Is the school in her own memory? Like, mind? Like, it's.
I don't know.
I'm not sure that, like again, this could all just be one man's hallucinations in the woods by himself. So,
well,
the whole thing is under suspicion.
So, yeah, Penny is very upset that she has no confidence. And Fred is trying to remind her of all of the things that she's good at.
Mm-hmm.
Like rhyming words.
Yes. You guys. How are we going to teach this kid confidence? I know. Let's sing three more songs about it right in a row. And yes, the first song is about rhyming.
Yep, it sure is. And then the next song is about how when Fred feels sad, he goes to his special place in the woods and feels better. So he takes her just, you know, like a few feet over to his special place in the woods that is clearly the same place in the woods that they've been the whole time. And they sing another song to help them feel better about the fact that they have no confidence. But there's no time for that because then they start another song, which I think was called We Must Get Ready for the Frog Show.
Yes.
It's the song, this song, and you guys, these songs are all so long.
Yeah.
They're so long. The rhyming song just kept going on and on.
Right, it had like six verses.
And then they sing the frog song. And the frog song is like, if you're sitting outside and you hear some frogs, don't be upset or worried, because they're not, like, you know, yelling at you. They're just, they're getting ready for the frog show. You know, the frog show.
Yeah, you know.
The frog show.
Yeah.
And then no transition into another song.
Nine songs so far.
It's, which, the talking song is about storytelling, I think.
It's just about talking and the different kinds of talking that exist.
Yeah, languages you can have.
All right.
It's just like communication in general.
Okay.
Maybe you talk to yourself.
Maybe. Info.
Although one of the lines of the song was, do you talk to yourself when you're alone? It, again, it makes me wonder about Fred's mental health.
That's none of your business, Mr. Penner.
I'm beginning to wonder if this is like a Garfield minus Garfield situation, where if you just took Penelope out of the whole equation...
And you understand what's really happening.
Yeah, exactly. Penelope isn't real, you guys.
No.
So
we had like three or four random songs,
yeah.
And now she's confident.
She has enough confidence to put glue on the chair.
She talks beautifully. She's a good rhymer. She's a good singer. She's a good talker. And now she's a good gluer, too.
Wow.
You know, Jesse, sometimes it's easy to forget how good you are at things, especially if someone taught them to you.
Is that a fact?
That's what I learned from today.
Direct quote from Mr. Penner himself.
I'm not really sure what that's supposed to mean exactly.
Well, it doesn't matter because our song is now finished. Wait, no, the songs aren't finished. That's just the chair that's finished.
Yes, the chair is finished. But now we...
Oh, there's so many songs left.
So many more songs.
You thought you were done with songs.
Yes, but the one with the best phrasing was the next song that they sang.
Oh my goodness. Inside of You.
Inside of You. Which, he is not playing the guitar for, like, almost this entire song. Like, I have a note that says, finally grabs guitar 3 minutes into song and plays for 3 seconds.
And then sets it down
and
again.
And then set it back down. Picked it back up a couple minutes later, strummed like twice, and then set it back down.
Well, he needs it for the next song. Fred Penner has a whole workshop, and he cuts the twine on this chair with a pair of green plastic safety scissors.
Children's safety scissors.
Like, why do you have those? This is a show for children,
he
but
just
you
hangs
are an
out
adult.
With puppets all day.
You know, my children...
Look, you can't trust them with the sharp scissors, man.
No, they can't even work out glue.
Like, I get that, like, my kids might not be allowed to use full adult scissors, but you know what else my kids aren't allowed to do? Hang out alone in the woods.
Yeah.
So, I still don't know anything about confidence at this point, but that's okay, because we have another song. This is the one he used the guitar for.
Yes.
Yeah.
This song is basically just a slew of random inspirational things you would say to children, like,
believe in
follow
yourself.
Your dreams, help each other grow.
Say no to drugs.
And then doesn't he transition into the take good care of each other? So, you had to sneak in one more song. So, what's that put us to?
12 songs.
I knew we were in double digits. I knew
12 it. 12 songs, folks. And that's not counting the outro song.
Yes.
So, lucky 13. That's what we got.
I think if you combined the total amount of talking in the whole episode, it would be less than, like, 4 minutes.
Probably. And it's like a 20... The thing we watched was 29 minutes. Well, and maybe you watched, too.
Yeah.
29 minutes long, 13 songs.
So now... But would you guys rather hear a puppet sing, or would you rather hear a puppet talk? Because that puppet was very annoying.
That puppet was very annoying.
Yeah.
It kept... It talked just like a normal child.
Yeah, kind of.
Me. I don't remember Penelope from when I watched, so I'm guessing this was like a later edition. But it makes me want to go back and watch some of the earlier ones to see if I remember the puppets
utilized. I remember humans being on this show.
There were humans sometimes.
No puppets. Hmm. And that bird. I remembered Word Bird as soon as I saw him.
Yeah, we were like, Word Bird!
Hey, it's her old pal, Word Bird!
And we did talk about the word of the day on Pee-wee and how this is a similar concept, only more of a vocabulary builder than just a thing
much,
that you scream.
Much less exciting. More just...
You learn a new word.
Pretty much straight up educational without any, you know, shenanigans thrown in there.
Mm-hmm. Well... Since it was so focused on the lesson, what do you guys think the moral of today's show was?
You should have confidence and try to remember all the good things that you know how to do.
That's true. Yeah, and not get so discouraged. Because sometimes if you just keep trying, you'll figure it out.
It's easy to forget all the good things you can do.
Especially when someone taught it to you.
Yeah, like that's the part that I'm caught on. Because,
me too.
Like... Why does that make it more forgettable, exactly? Like, if somebody taught you how to do... I don't think I'm gonna understand this.
Well, I mean...
Don't break your brain.
You have to learn how to do literally everything you know how to do.
Right.
So, what is the alternative to somebody teaching you to do something?
You're
like, you teach
yourself?
But how, like, are you reading a book? Are you, watching somebody
around.
Else do it? Still somebody's teaching you something somewhere. I don't know. I think that the moral of the story was... Don't be afraid of all those horrifying frog sounds that you are constantly hearing. Because they're just getting ready for the frog show.
Oh, the frog show.
The frog show.
Yes.
And I know how to spell goblin now, so that's a plus.
But do you know how to spell goblin with a stutter? Because that's what I okay,
but even after hearing that song and like knowing what to look out for, I don't think I could pick a goblin out of a lineup. What did he look like? Oh, he had goblin hair. What's the goblin hair? You know, goblin hair. It went along with his goblin head.
Worst adjectives ever.
Oh, obviously. Goblin hair.
So, how do you think it would be different if it were on television today?
You know, even though they jam-packed this episode with so many songs, I still think that this show's a little bit too slow-paced for a kid of today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's not enough, you know, marketing going on either, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how you would possibly sell Fred Penner toys, you know, like, no. I guess you could have a doll of the blue girl.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Nobody wants the Penelope action figure. Frog
show action set. They sell a weird canvas backpack with a bunch of sticks and twine inside.
Yeah, I think sadly Fred will be a relic of the past, most likely, except for those of us who appreciate the nostalgia kick every so often. So
I did enjoy that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It felt very, like, Mr. Rogers inspired, but, like, a shitty Mr. Rogers. No offense, but, like just...
I didn't write it.
No, but I know you like it, so I didn't want to offend you. But, like, I feel like he definitely wanted the gentle vibe of Mr. Rogers, or, like, a Sharon Lois and Bram.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, something like that. But I think that if he had, like, tied the, like I said, the songs in, it would be a lot more, like... cohesive of a show, and like, I don't know.
I had nothing but fond memories of this show, so clearly it worked on its target audience, and that's all you can really ask for.
No, absolutely.
It kept me entertained.
Yeah, I think I would have definitely really liked it as a child, because I love nature, so that would have been cool. And I like songs, so it's good too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Fred Penner's. Well, okay, so we were looking at an episode from 1994, as you probably saw, again, if you clicked on the link and watched along.
On our website.
On our website.
Which you should definitely visit if you haven't already.
Oh, they totally have. Don't worry. Oh, okay. Don't worry. Yeah, they're a big fan, this listener.
Austin. Hi, Austin.
Hi, Austin. So we also watched a commercial from 1994 from November that would have been aired on Nickelodeon. And this was for the Blade Runner rollerblades.
By the official rollerblade brand.
Yes. So official, not some off-brand rollerblades.
No. And they're the Blade Runner.
No inline skates.
Mm-mm.
Rollerblades.
Yes.
So you'd think that this would be some sort of like really cool futuristic cyberpunk future where everyone goes around on rollerblades. But no, it's the 90s, and we start this commercial in the park.
Yes.
And you hear a disembodied voice go, "Woo!"
Accompanied by like
sweet heavy metal music.
Yeah.
But then there's just a whole bunch of sweet drum beats.
It's mm-hmm. true. It is extreme sports time.
And you see these two kids rollerblading around with their cool 90s gear on.
Excessively baggy clothing. Whole lot of flannel.
So bright colored.
And they're zooming around the park. Nobody can stop them except...
they come across this, like, white light alien. It's like, I don't even know. Help me, guys. How do we describe this?
Yes, it looks like Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
When he was mistaken for an alien on The Simpsons. He's glowing white.
It looks pretty much exactly like that.
He has glowing red eyes. He doesn't speak, though.
Oh, no, that's true.
But somehow he's able...
Do you guys remember the cocoon? The cocoon ending.
He's able to motion to these children who are just so busy rollerblading that they almost miss him, I think. But then they're like, whoa, what's this? It's really the 90s now. It's extreme. And the alien's like, woo. And somehow, the little girl who speaks alien is like, I think he wants your sweet blades, or whatever the hell she says.
It says that he wants your skates. And he's like, uh-uh. And she's like, he wants to trade. And so then he tries to trade him various offerings.
Yeah. Like first, a tiny pterodactyl.
Yeah. And then slime.
It's like a moving purple blob.
Yeah. It's Alex Mack after she goes into her angsty goth phase and dyes her hair.
Yeah.
So she's a purple blob now.
And he's still like, nah. And then he gets a spaceship, right?
Yeah, then he's like, well, what would I trade for? Ooh, that sweet UFO that I somehow didn't notice earlier. It's directly behind us.
It is also glowing white, just like the alien.
So, and then the two kids fly off in their spaceship.
So they're implying that the Blade Runner rollerblades are just as cool as a UFO, and both the children and the alien have agreed on this fact, that one pair of rollerblades is equal to one space-traveling UFO.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were, I literally owned these rollerblades. These are the rollerblades I had probably around 94, 95.
Did they make you feel like you were in a UFO zooming around?
I mean, I definitely had some of those moments.
Did you trade them for a UFO?
No, I would have, maybe.
Well, like, maybe you were the originator of the UFO is what I'm trying to say.
I'm trying to keep that on the DL.
Did you get them from a child and trade your UFO? You can tell us. It's
See,
okay.
Really, I am the beam of light alien. This is just a skin suit.
Oh. You bring us love.
But, yeah, man, the 90s had some interesting commercials.
You know,
at least it wasn't more breakfast cereal, because I'm telling you guys, it is always just sorting through all the breakfast cereal
breakfast
commercials.
Food. Breakfast foods in general, waffles, Pop-Tarts, cereal, weird breakfast foods that don't exist anymore. Like, I just...
The sugariest so of breakfast options.
The thing that really, like, I'm noticing a lot, especially in the commercials that we watch today, there's a lot of commercials where it's like, kids are like this, and grown-ups are like this. And so it's like, kids do this one very specific thing, and then here's a bunch of black and white clips from the 50s. This is what grown-ups are like. Don't be like grown-ups.
Yeah, we were taught to be divided, that's for sure.
Yeah, what's wrong with America? Us versus them mentality, for sure. Mm-hmm. Been pitting the millennials against the baby boomers for all of time.
This is why no one can afford houses.
This is why.
It's because we're trading our skates for UFOs.
Yeah. Gotta be careful.
I traded my car for some avocado toast.
My
what
youth
am
was
I
just
do?
Full of participation trophies, yes. First of all. And then second of all, I just had a whole bunch of UFOs, and I thought it was going to be free UFOs forever.
Yeah.
Then the economy crashed, and now here we are.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
Pop-Tart cereal isn't even a thing anymore.
No, that's a shame.
And we've resorted to doing this podcast.
You're welcome.
Speaking of this podcast.
Yeah.
If you like hearing us rant about things, like true millennials, why don't you rate us on iTunes?
Yeah, absolutely. Please rate us on iTunes. Share us with your friends. Definitely visit our website. Write us emails. Let us know what you think. Post comments. We will gladly interact with you.
What was your favorite show? Mm-hmm. Tell us. We'd love to hear.
Make a request. We may ignore it, but we'll consider it. That's for sure.
It depends on what that request is. But, you can send us money. That's always fun.
That'd
if you
be cool.
feel like it. I'm not sure how you do that, but, you'll figure out a
way. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, you're very
I'll
smart,
sign a kazoo for you if you like.
Look, we have a lot of confidence in you, so...
I have confidence in your ability to make the right choice.
It's amazing what you can do. Just stick a check in the mail.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for all your friends here at Vital Information.
So, good night and goodbye. And until next time. Nick, Nickelodeon.